In attendance, Supervisor Gilmore, Bostrom, Grady, Elderman, Excuser, Franco, O'Day, and Lambeau. And we have Alex Dawson and Nathan Moore in attendance from the Youth and Governance. Did everyone receive the minutes from the last meeting? If they did, could someone please make a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Gilmore, second by Supervisor Bostrom, to approve the minutes from June 5th. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee? Aye.
Aye.
Carried. The Chairman, Committee Member, Supervisor. We may have Chairman Bruning here this evening because we were worried about having a quorum for the meeting. Everyone is traveling and doing things in the summer. A couple comments that I would have, the main one, naturally, since I work very close to one of the parks and then have property next to another one and have spent time in another one. This is the 4th of July weekend. What our Parks Department did was just an amazing amount of work. If people realize the amount of time spent. Now, I saw guys leaving early on Friday, and I asked one of them, they said, oh, yeah, they said, if we're going to go, we got to go now. Because on Tuesday, I mean, they were there till 8 o'clock at Silver Lake Park. I guess Matt was down there, too. You know, they told me on Wednesday morning, we still have to do the washrooms. You can't do the washrooms when people are there. People are there between the concessions, the washrooms, the cleaning, the parking, how busy we were at all the parks. At the time they put in, I mean, the cars parked for the workers was the same as if it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of a normal week. And they put in a lot of time, a lot of hours. I was in three parks that weekend, KD, Fox River, and Silver Lake, and the attendance, I'm sure, at Pets was the same. Yeah. Remarkable job, and heck of a staff that we've got. Very dependable and conscientious, so I saw nothing but good work, and I had people come up to me in KD Park that weekend, because I was illegally kayaking compared to what the sign says there. Unless we've changed the sign, but I was one of like 15 that were doing it, and had a local woman come up and said, this is the best thing that anyone has done out here. You know, and I looked at her, and then I look around that park, and I say, you know, yeah, if you live here, it is one of the cool things. And the additions that we've done, being able to drive down there for people and park, that thing is really getting naturally, the other ones are too. So that's my comments. Any other supervisors to use the governance? If not, we will move on. Citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to address the committee on any matter pertaining to facilities, parks, highways, golf? If not, we'll move on from there. Division reports. Mr. Dreyer, you're first this evening.
Well, in golf operations, we're following our business plan, and we're sending an email blast to 20,000 people every week, so I hope you guys are getting those. Our next big initiative is the Kenosha County Open. That will be July 21st through the 23rd, 3 days of competitive golf at Petrifying Springs on Friday, and then Brightondale Saturday, Sunday. The Ladies County Open is Saturday the 15th at Petrifying Springs. And then the Junior County Open was supposed to start today, but after 3 inches of rain last night, we had to cancel that. So hopefully we're going to get that in yet this week. The Kenosha News stepped up to be our presenting partner for the Kenosha County Open, and they're providing all the advertising for our tournament. So hopefully we'll have a big field for that. We have started the Caddy and Leadership Academy out at Brightondale. This year, we moved from Petrifying Springs We had a couple training days on the 3rd and the 10th and officially started on the 15th. They're working Thursday evening for the leagues. We had 8 leagues on Thursdays and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. And it's working much better getting the caddies out for their actual rounds at Brightondale because we have so many more starting holes. Receiving great comments on the condition of the course, although it's a little wet. The biggest exception is the sand traps at Brightondale, and we're still working on those. Since last October, we were trying to take out 12, and just to get the bobcat out on the course, you know, when it's dry enough so that they're not sinking in and causing more damage than they're helping, you know, it's really been a challenge. But we are working on them to make them more consistent. Are working on a plan, hopefully with soon with our golf course architect, Bob Lohman, on possibly rebuilding all the rest of the bunkers that we're going to keep. We're going to try and, we have 147, we're going to try and take out 45 of them and end up with a 92 bunkers, and then those are going to have to be rebuilt to have all the sand taken out, new tile run, and then new sand put in them. Drain tile. And last we have our junior clinics are going great this year. We had one, we have about a 1 8-week program that Doug Scholsky and I are teaching at. They have about 105 kids, 50 at Brightondale, which is the most ever, 65 at Petrifying Springs. We also have our PGA Junior League, which we have 12 juniors that are participating at Brightondale and 11 at Pets, which travel between all those golf courses, Racine Country Club and Strawberry Creek to compete. It's a two-person scramble. It's a lot of fun. People are really enjoying that, the children as well as the parents. And then we had an after-school junior program that Doug Scholsky conducted from Bristol School, or Brighton School, I'm sorry. And then we have two other junior programs from the Recplex that are coming out. So in total, we have about 160 kids in our junior programs, you know, building that future base for us. So that's everything that's going on in golf right now, besides battling the weather, battling the rain.
So you guys have 3
as
another?
Yep.
We had an
inch. And Pets had 4.
3.9.
Yeah, 3.9.
Oh, yeah, I was on the news this morning. Rough. Thank you, Dana. Mike, Trent.
Well, I do have one other thing. I have our compliance maintenance annual report for our wastewater treatment plant. And it's required by the state every year that you guys receive this report and then review the grades. And we did get straight A's on all of our actionable items there. We are operating the wastewater treatment plant as well as we can. There are some upgrades that will be needed for that. We're working on also the compliance, it's called CMOM. It's how we can continue to invest in it and keep it in compliance. And one of the things is that we're getting a lot of infiltration into the piping, and so we're getting it. They're coming out the 13th Wednesday to or Thursday to clean and televise it, just like Matt had done over in the parks at Petrifying Springs. And so we're going to find out if we have any leaks or that type of thing and what kind of investment it's going to take to keep that, getting these type of grades. But you guys have this report now, and we'll be forwarding it on to the state.
Any questions on that? We have our own sewer plant, just like a village would have at Brightondale. So when you have that, we have to do this, file this report every year.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's a formal, but I think in years past we've had the committee actually like vote to receive the report. I believe that's how the statute requires us to to formally show that we presented it? Because the thing is, the statute's really set up for a municipality where, like, this water utility is a public, we're a private entity in a public setting that's only used for the golf course. But if we could still have a formal acceptance of it.
Yeah, I'd like to have a motion to receive this and file it with the state.
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Supervisor Bostrom, motion. Supervisor Grady, seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, youth and governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, Mike Schrader.
Starting with ongoing projects, to report on the pretrial sealant replacement project, which is complete as of 6-6. Went real nice, we are under budget. Contractors, real building contractors, so that one closes out. The second project to report on is a new one that is going to start out here at this building at DCC, is to replace the fire alarm panel along with devices. It's a quick project. System's obsolete and it needs to be done. It's in the budget this year approved, so we'll start that probably the beginning of next week and it should be done within that week. So, pretty simple one there. Focus on energy spreadsheet. Nothing really to report there as far as new or old, just ongoing. The main one that's ongoing is the courthouse. And we're gradually working our way through the hallways of the courthouse, getting them all converted over. The basement is done. There's recessed lighting and sconce lighting there. The first floor has got chandeliers and sconce lighting. That's done. The second floor has got chandeliers and sconce lighting. That's done. The only thing remains is the third floor sconces and stairway lighting. And that whole courthouse will be switched over inside and hallways at least. I'll be expecting that to be done by the next time we meet. That's pretty much it.
Any questions for Mike? Then we will move on to Division of Projects and Facilities, Frank Martinelli.
Mr. Chairman, first item, the fire alarm system replacement project at the courthouse. We had the Kenosha Fire Department come in and we passed our final inspection of the system. There's nothing we need for the inspection, but there's just a few cosmetic things, minor touch-up items that we're going to take care of on the punch list, so we should have those wrapped up by the end of the month. No questions on that item. We'll go to the public safety building generator replacement. We needed to modify the site design to accommodate some bollards, and we ran into some underground items, some fuel piping, things like that. Actually, there were some vent piping, so we had to modify where the bollards were. That required some state approval, so we had to redo the plan, send it to the state. We just cemented the bollards in place today, as a matter of fact. Once we get the state approval, we can put diesel in the fuel tank, perform load bank testing, and make the final connections, cut over. We plan to be done by the 1st of August. Questions. Public safety building addition second floor project with the fleet maintenance building. All of the demolition for fleet maintenance building is complete. Reconstruction has started. We're going to be installing columns on the inside of the shop area to stabilize the walls because we took out the second floor. And that should start. We're going to start that on the 12th of this month. The roof truss installation should start about the 18th. And we want to start the decking shortly after that, around the 20th. The offices are all framed out. We're trying to get all the plumbing and electrical taken care of in there. Again, we're still targeting October for completion of the fleet maintenance building. In the public safety building, we started to do some preliminary construction activities on the second floor. We ordered all the medical examiner equipment, which is between submitting all the drawings and production shipping is a 6-month lead time. It's all specialty, customized stuff. So we're targeting a May completion of 2018 for the public safety building work. Any questions? French 4 remodel in the courtroom. We've nailed down the contractor to October 16th start date for the remodel. It'll be right after the Major Jensen trial. So we're investigating or looking into the bid bond remedy against the first contractor. They're still looking at the legal side of that, so, but we are pursuing that. Any questions?
Right, what would that entail? What's the remedy that we're looking for?
Well, get some money out of them. Joe Cardamone was kind of digging through that with purchasing because we've never had to do it before.
Right, and they put us way behind.
They put us way behind. We don't have any liquidated damages. It didn't cost us business or loss of business. But that is, like I said, Joe's never had to do it. And our purchasing, Matt Fleming's never had to do it. But that's what that bid bond is there for in case something like this happens.
So, did they put up a bond?
Yes, they did.
I was going to say, Frank, too, there's the one thing you and I talked about with the, so Absolute, the contractor that now has it from Union Grove, they honored their original price, but they had to adjust it by $7,000.
Yeah.
So at a minimum, that would be a piece because we now had to go to them. And so at a minimum, that premium for them having to, that would be the minimum. But like Frank said, they're kind of unraveling and trying to figure it out because there's, it set everything behind by 6 months. So,
Ray's got a good point, actually. It's not that they increased their price, it's the union contracts.
That's what
their wages actually, the new contract came into effect in June. So it was only that delta. They didn't increase their price, it was just that delta they have to pay the union guys.
We'll see, it'll be interesting. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 2017 paving program is progressing well. We just completed paving on County Trunk Highway JB, between State Trunk Highway 45 and County Trunk Highway B. The crew is currently paving town roads in Whitman. We have some issues with the paver, so as soon as the paver is repaired, we'll continue with that paving. We're anticipating completing that by the end of this week, and next week we'll be paving County Trunk MB. And apart from that, we're continuing with our normal day-to-day maintenance, the mowing, shouldering as needed. And in terms of project updates, County Trunk Highway S&H from County Trunk Highway S from H to Highway 31. We are still working with the city and DOA and FAA to resolve the land release issue. The city and DOA are currently doing the runway protection zone analysis that will determine the way forward for the project. Project is just at a standstill. Just hoping that all this review process will take place and then we can move forward. County Trunk Highway H and Main Station intersection, we are about completing the right-of-way acquisition. We are hoping to start sometime in August. It might start maybe in July. But everything seems to be going on according to plan, it's just a little bit slow. County Trunk Highway E Bridge. The bridge, the contractor is doing well on schedule. The the majority of the major construction on the bridge itself is completed. There are necessary structural installations like guardrails and stuff like that. And they're planning to, maybe by the end of next week, they'll be laying down the bridge approaches to pave. I still scheduled to be completed in August. If everything works well, they'll meet that deadline or maybe earlier. County Trunk Highway W curve in Ridland. The project is 3 weeks behind schedule due to utility relocation work. The construction team is working to mitigate drainage concerns raised by some of the property owners. And major construction work is scheduled to start sometime this week, but it looks like it's going to start next week. And gas station, the fuel station for the Kenosha County Public Works Department. The project is on schedule. Major work has been completed. They are currently programming fuel software. And hopefully, we are hoping that by the end of this month, we'll be able to be getting fuel from the new station if everything works well. The Wisdom Project, County State Trunk Highway 45 is, County Trunk Highway C and 45 is just partially open. And I say partially open because they're still working at the intersection even though traffic is going, there's a stop sign. The signals have not been installed, so they're still doing a stop and go. And so it's a little bit slow, but it's still moving. We've not had any complaint from the public again, but I would just say they've just got themselves used to it and they're using it, but it's still slow. I was there 2 days ago, last Friday, and it's really slow. And the last, but not the least, is State Trunk Highway 65 in Pleasant Prairie. Major work has been completed. They are working out on the median and they're installing left-hand lanes on at the intersection of 165 and H. That is actually an additional work requested by the village, so that will require them extending their completion time, but they are anticipating to complete it by the end of July. With that, that is the brief report for
any questions for Clint?
Yes, just as it relates to the issue with County H, County S, is there a proposed meeting for BOA, FAA? Is there anything upcoming that we can look forward to?
I would say we are still in the process. We are getting at the point where we really need to meet again to resolve the issue because nothing is moving. We really need to get a meeting. We discussed that internally and we are in the process of trying to organize one.
So just from a procedural standpoint, when you had your past meetings, do they say that there'll be another meeting scheduled for sometime in the future, or is it just left indefinite?
We didn't plan to have another meeting because when we ended, it was an understanding. We ended on a very good page that everybody was for the project and we're going to work hard to catch deadlines. But after that, it's still just stalling us. So we never met.
So just in theory.
Right. I can add to Clemens because we talk about this almost daily. So it's alphabet soup. So the BOA, the Bureau of Aeronautics for the state, they've had the RPZ, the runway protection zone thing, for about a month and a half. That was at the end of the last meeting. They were supposed to then task with review that so that then when that's done and hopefully approved by them, it will go to the FAA for their review. The BOA hasn't done anything. He calls weekly, and so they're too busy to get to it or whatever. So that's one piece of it. Then on the other side of it, the highway side of it, the DOT was tasked or agreed to, actually it was kind of a reach for them, but it was agreed, they agreed to do the environmental study, review the environmental study, so they could do that and then forward that to the FHWA. And I believe we're supposed to find out tomorrow if that was completed. So it sounds like that.
It was actually today. I've been looking at my phone. I've not had any calls. So tomorrow I'll be giving them a call.
To find out, because they were supposed to be done with it today. So there's some movement taking place. That said, we've talked with the exec. I talked with him last week, and then we met with him this afternoon, Clem and I and Jenny, and we're working to get another meeting scheduled with FAA officials, BOA, DOT, FHWA. Let's get it to the next point. Okay. Right. We're just going to keep pushing. At least it looks like the DOT is holding up their end of the stick as far as moving. The BOA, not so much. So, and it's alphabet soup.
If I may add, we were not even tasked to do the ROTC analysis. It was the second thought that came because it was supposed to be done by the city and BOA. And so they came to us and they said, we have to do it. And we told them we don't have the expertise to do it. Okay. And they said, we should go ahead and do it. And so we gave them our recommendation. And the recommendation that they provided to us at the beginning, because I think you were asking a question about one of the recommendations. That recommendation actually regarding shifting that intersection to the north was actually proposed by DOA, but we had to include it because we're just writing it because that's what we wanted. So that recommendation, we included that one just to show what the monetary value impact would be so that if we help them to make a decision that I think we should go this way or that way. So that proposal was not really from us. It was actually a DOA proposal, but they wanted us to include everything in the report so that they see everything and they make a better decision. So that was how that alternative came about.
Just following up on your question from last month.
I don't mean to jump in.
No, I mean, if that's your conclusion, can we have Supervisor Bostrom speak up?
Well, yes, if you're done.
I'm done.
The BOA alphabet soup, in my 6 years experience with them, they don't move entirely quickly. Though what I've heard from the airport side is that nobody at the federal level wants to stand in the way of the highway project happening. So as I understand it, they're probably going to approve as is, and then if the feds need to come back and do something with that intersection, then they'll tackle that once the runway is approved. That's what I've heard. But really, other than digging under or just eliminating the intersection and creating two roundabouts, one northwest, one southeast, that is, as I understand it, is the preferred method, but it's not very user-friendly. But I guess I would ask, who at BOA have you been working with?
Wendy.
Wendy. She's good.
I talked to Wendy. Wendy told me that he's working on other projects, so it's slowing her down.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Mike Ferry, the FAA.
Oh, Mike Ferry. Yeah.
Yes, I talked to Mike Ferry, and Mike Ferry said he's waiting for BOA.
There's a gal by the name of Diane Danielson. She's mostly in acquisitions, real estate acquisitions and property reimbursement, but she is as sharp a person as I've ever run into.
She's DOA or BOA?
She's
or?
BOA.
Oh.
Is it Diane?
Yeah, I can forward it to her. If she doesn't know herself what, if anything else, can be done, she can point in the right direction. You may already be in the right direction, but she's sharp. I will forward that to you either later today or tomorrow.
Thanks. Anything else for Clement? If not, we'll move on to the Parks Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First thing we have is consideration for a resolution from We Energies for a permanent easement request within the Fox River Water Trail. This is at the Wilmot Axis. So you have attached a few maps to kind of point you in the right direction of the property at hand. So this is part of our Fox River Water Trail at that location. And the request actually comes from the town of Salem to provide a new gas service. They've requested for their lift station. It's already on hand. So they need work to be done with that lift station. So in order to request that easement, they need to go through the county since we're the property owners of this project.
So, can I have a motion to approve this resolution for easement to We Energies?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Graves, seconded by Supervisor Gilmore. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, you the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Carries. Thank you.
As for the division report, first thing we have is Petrifying Springs Park. We are in the process of bringing Wi-Fi to Petrifying Springs Park. This is part of our comprehensive plan that started with Silver Lake Park. We now have Wi-Fi services at the beach location, and it's been within our five-year plan to next move on to Petrifying Springs Park and provide Wi-Fi services to the pavilions within that park. So that's underway, and I'll keep on giving updates of when that actually goes online fully to the entire park area. Next thing we have, which is pretty remarkable, is the before and after pictures of our tennis court restoration project. So if you could see the before, it was completely not really usable by any standard. And after this company was done with the renovations, not only do we have tennis back in order again at Fox River Park, but also pickleball, which is huge because that's one of the fastest growing sports in the nation now. So it's a multi-use space, and we're hoping to really target market that towards either a senior population that really is using pickleball more often, and also the local schools that can make use of it because there's not enough of those pickleball courts out west. So that was a great improvement to Fox River Park and our park system. Next up is Silver Lake Park. Just giving an update on our kayak, and paddleboard rentals. And that's been highly successful. It was a little bit of a slow start being a little bit of a cooler spring, but still, when it got warm, we're actually now at over 100 rentals since I last checked with that. So people are really chomping at the bit. There's been several days that all of our stuff has been rented out on the weekends. So great idea. People are really taking to it. Another new initiative that we've moved forward with is our social media, and we have a Facebook presence for our Parks Division. And I would say this is one of the best ways to really interact with our customer base, being our general population and residents. That what we've tried in previous years for our movie nights and other activities only reached a certain population, but with Facebook now, even in this last month, we've exponentially been able to increase our attendance numbers throughout the board and really quickly and economically get a hold of our customers and constituents a lot easier, and also communicate to them at a faster threshold. For instance, with the water and the rainfall we had overnight, our grounds were saturated, so we had to cancel yoga in the park. This is a perfect opportunity and platform for us to make updates on cancellations pertaining to weather or whatever else we have. So you can see the statistics just in a month, how many people are following us, and how many people actually view those pages. Next thing we have is just some more details on our upcoming Parks Anniversary Celebration over at Pets on August 5th, so I hope everyone can make it. And I'm not gonna go line by line item, but we had over $12,000 in donations to make this event happen. So it's gonna be jam-packed full of activities throughout the entire day from noon to 8:30. Our main event has some really high-line headliners, including Sam Giannis from the Bodine, so he's got his band coming in. So I hope that a lot of people really attend this thing, because everything for the most part except for concessions is free for the entire family. So we're hoping that that's highly successful this next month. Also attached is the June event attendance figure. So our team likes to track these things and see how successful we have been in the month of June. Just some points to make out is, again, our movie nights have been highly successful. That last year, we had 15 people attend those. And now we're constantly having over 300 people at these movies. So I credit the collaboration between the Beer Garden and our social media in order to get the word out there. But a lot of these things have peaked out as far as the attendance figures. Even for our TOTS programs and other recreation ones, we want that 25 kids max to be where we want that level, just for the teachers to do a good job. And we're already seeing those numbers get to that level within this first month as well. So very, very successful program that we implemented this year. And I'm not going to go through all the July stuff, but you can see that it's going to be another jam-packed month full of activities. So if someone has the excuse that there's nothing going on, I would point to our event schedule to say otherwise. And I can see the three are very, very active. We also have the Pringle Nature Center report that's attached. And then lots of really cool pictures that I put into the report just to show the success of those programs and smiling faces in the parks. And that's all I have.
Matt, the activities for our anniversary.
Yes.
Are we having like an opening there? Like, is the county executive doing something at noon when this all starts? Or?
That's a great question. We really haven't talked to the county executive as far as any dignitaries speaking throughout it, but I would warmly welcome yourself or anyone else if they wanted to come up there and say a couple kind words. We'd be more than happy in between band sets right at the beginning.
But I just thought possibly he would be doing something at noon to kick it off. Or
I know he's going to be there, but we haven't talked to the county executive a specific time of what works for his schedule.
Well, I'm hoping that everyone here will be there one time or another. It's August.
August 5th.
That's coming up.
It'll be here pretty quick. And they really, Matt's done a heck of a job with his team of interns and pulling this thing together and his staff. They've never done anything like this before. And there's a lot, there's something for everybody. I mean, and it's, like you said, it's pretty much all free, only the concessions. It should be, it's going to be very interesting to see. I think we have arrangements with Parkside for...
We have overflow parking. We have Western Kenosha County Transit giving shuttle buses from each pavilion, so people don't have to walk that distance. So we're catering towards families, elderly, and getting them from events or venue to venue. And then afterwards, they're sticking around after the fireworks to get people back so they're parking lot safely.
And the fireworks are going to be at that pavilion?
At Pavilion 1 of Beer Garden. Yeah. So it's going to be an open field just to the east where we have the Pipe River. They're going to be tucked away and nestled back there.
Cool.
So perfect venue, just weather pending.
Right.
As long as we don't get another 6 to 8 inches.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. That's a great reading.
Just so I can appraise myself and my constituents, would you clue us in as to what bubble soccer is?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. It's literally a person slips a bubble halfway through up to your torso, and it's basically soccer, but you can bounce off each other and literally fly like 5 feet in the air and still be okay. And you can
it's
pop
awesome.
So you're in a bubble.
I'll do it if you can.
F zero.
This will be awesome.
Yeah. Should we have like a supervisor?
Yeah.
You guys could be the first to ride this through. We'll put the county
courses on like the sumo ride.
Good idea.
And we do have sumo.
That's what.
You got that too.
Yep, we have a sumo. So if anyone wants to go at it,
where's the donkey basketball?
Yeah, but I would recommend to go on YouTube after this, and it's hilarious. And
it's,
I'm hoping
it's
that
hilarious.
It kind of catches on, because even the Beer Garden vendor thinks that if this is something that their constituent base likes in that area, maybe they can have we play with bubble soccer in the future. So we will see if it's going to be built in entertainment.
Beer and bubble.
No one would have pictured that 5 years ago.
No.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr.
Brookside, If anybody's been over there to visit folks or just to see how things were going, in the new addition, the focus continues to be on getting operations running as smooth as they can, given that it really is interim kind of accommodations for everybody. It's working. There's plenty of challenges yet, just because we still have 140 plus people in that space, and it's cozy, and there's a lot going on because you've got rehab taking place in the basement temporarily, and there's just a lot going on in that space. But they're making it work, and every week I think it gets a little bit better. But it's the sooner we can get done with the renovations, I think everybody's going to be breathing easier. Progress continues on phase two of the project. Demo activities are just about complete. We had an incident Friday when I was over there. I had just gotten there, and fire alarm went off. And the first thing we do is run over to the new building to make sure, and everything's calm, and there's nothing going on there. No fire alarm in there. And one of the construction guys, one of the HVAC guys, was carrying a piece of duct and knocked off one of the sprinkler heads. The good news is the fire department was there in less than 5 minutes. But it was luckily just a false alarm. So there's everything in the old, you would not recognize the old building on the inside right now. It's severely changed. And there is some reconstruction already starting to take place in areas where the demo is complete and they can start to frame out walls and things. We're just continuing to work with the team to identify if any design refinement is going to be required as the demo wraps up. We got into like the courtyard, if you can picture the old courtyard in the existing building. It was in where they kept most of the memory care folks, and it was an enclosed courtyard. There was a landscape plan defined for it that would have taken out a really cool specimen. What's the name of that tree, Mike?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. And it's a beautiful tree. So we redid things so that we're going to save that specimen tree and actually save pretty much all the concrete that's in there as well. So we're looking to basically refine things in a way so we can save if we can, wherever we can. And that's a good example. We had the landscape architect out, and he, once he saw the tree and really looked at it closer, we came up with a great way to minimize the cost for that area and save that tree. So there's just a lot going on with that right now. We're still targeting about April of 18 for completion. Like, I'm thinking we're going to keep pushing to move that date up sooner than that, because, like I say, the sooner we get that thing done, the happier everybody's going to be at Brookside. Staff, residents, everybody. That's pretty much what's going on at Brookside. Within the department, as you can tell by the reports, all the divisions are starting work on all the projects they've got in play and all the activities. We have started work in earnest and preliminary, getting our budgets, our 2018 budgets put together. Mr. Cupford and coordinating all that. We got all our IT stuff in within the last week. We're working on the capital part and operational budgets then in the next couple weeks, I think, everybody?
Everything's due the 24th.
24th. So there's a lot going on with that. Targeting a late July start date for the KCDC storage building, if we can get a few things in place so we can get permits. That should still happen before the end of the month. Staffing update, Doug Coor is our new public works civil engineer. He started in early June. Interviews for park superintendent to be the replacement for Nick when he retires next year. Those you guys have been involved in that. I believe we're at the point where we're just about ready to make an offer to somebody. So that is working. We had how many applications? 88 applications for that position. So it was a real good recruiting effort. So there's just a lot going on. Things are not slowing down in the summer for any of the public works departments. But for the most part, everything's staying on track, or we're working to get it on track.
Does anybody, and I don't know the people, but is there anybody from within the parks department that applied it as part of the aid?
Yeah, we actually had somebody within the parks department. I think we had somebody from highways. I don't know if there was anybody else from other.
There were applications from other departments, but they didn't make the final cut through even correction officers.
Okay.
For the potential. So there were some internal candidates.
Yeah, it's a job that a lot of people would be interested in if they had the right attitude.
A lot from the construction field.
Yeah.
As part of
that. Yeah, facilities people too. I imagine you've got a bunch of them.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much it.
Well, sounds great. As long as we don't get bad weather, we'll get all this stuff done.
That's the key. That's the key.
All the projects, all the roads.
Buildings.
Right. Buildings, golf courses. Sounds like every day. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll ask second Supervisor Green, second Supervisor Basham. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for having us.